Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Thanks for listening. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A couple of my favorite verses in the Bible are right here in the Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Notice the very simple but very important parallel between water and God's Word. He sends out the water and it accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. He sends out His Word and it accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was gathering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. At this point, we skip over an interim part, and we go on now to the explanation of the parable, picking up in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your holy word, it is not by our ability that we understand it, but it's only with your blessing. We pray even now that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to see our sin and be sorry for our sin. Help us to know that the Holy Bible is your holy word directly from you, Heavenly Father, as by the Holy Spirit you moved men to write down your very words. let us know that the essential message of the Bible is about the sad reality of our sin and the good news of Jesus Christ. So help us to focus on Him, help us to see such realities, and help us that we might by faith, by grace through faith, help us to embrace these things in our lives and then be blessed by You both now and especially forevermore. We ask all such things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we briefly consider parables in general. We'll begin in that manner, but then we're going to focus on Jesus' important parable of the sower, which draws a parallel between seed and soil on one level, and then on a deeper level, word and heart, which is so much more important. May God the Holy Spirit help us today to understand rightly and then with His blessing to benefit eternally. As we come to the first part, it does tell us in the Bible that Jesus spoke to large crowds and He spoke many things in parables. So I want to talk a little bit about parables in general and take a look at three related statements that are basically moving from an ordinary reality over to an extraordinary reality. So first of all, we could say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it's a story down at this level, but it's a story where God wants to take us up to a much higher level as we think about heaven. Earth is so temporary, heaven is forever. God wants us to see that reality. He wants to take us from what we can easily understand up to something that we can't so easily understand, but very much need to understand. Also, we could say a parable is a physical story with a spiritual meaning. So physical is what we can see, spiritual is what we can't see. But the Bible says that the things that we can see are only temporary. The things that we cannot see, those are eternal. God wants us to get thinking about the things that we cannot see. And then we could say a parable is a temporal story with an eternal meaning. So today, for example, we're taking a look at this idea of planting seed. So we could think about grass seed. We have grass. Grass is here today, but the Bible says it's here today. Tomorrow, it's thrown into the furnace. So it's a very temporary thing. So God wants us to realize that as Jesus speaks here about temporal things, He wants that to point to eternal things. Especially today, with this parable and with any parable, let us ask ourselves, dear Jesus, as You say these words, show me how You want me to relate them to my own eternity. Sometimes we go through this life so focused on the here and now that we forget that an eternity is coming for every one of us. God wants us to take what is said and to make that kind of application, and as we desire to do so, He will grant that blessing. I want to make three more statements here about parables. Number one, Jesus' stories were about ordinary things in people's lives. So the story today is about farming or about sowing. Maybe we're not farmers here too much, but you understand what that's about, whether it's planting grass seed, planting a garden, planting flowers, whatever it might be. You understand that concept very easily. Also, too, regarding parables, they are stories that made people think about their meaning. So as the people heard the story on an earthly, physical, temporal level, it should have made them get thinking here and get discussing among themselves, hey, what is the heavenly, spiritual, eternal meaning of what Jesus has just said? We should think the same today. And then another interesting statement here, people who wanted to obey God, they would understand the stories. How would they understand them? They would understand them because God enabled them to understand them. God knew the desires of their heart. God knew that they really wanted what God was offering, so God enabled them to understand. God enabled them to receive. But for people who really don't want what God is offering, for people who don't think they need it, for people who are going through the motions, God leaves them in a state of not being able to understand and not being able to receive. God is saying to us, if we're like that at all, God wants us to know how much we need what he is offering. He wants us to desire it, and he wants to give it to us. He wants us to understand and benefit now and forever. Let's get back to the parable itself now. Jesus was speaking to very large crowds, the Bible says, but a little bit later, when we have the explanation is given just to his disciples. So we are so blessed with this particular parable and also the parable next week, because those are ones where Jesus not only told the parable, but then he gave us the explanation. So with the parable of the sower, we have a farmer and he is sowing or scattering his seed. So a very common thing, especially back then. And then it says, Jesus said, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Can you imagine a situation where you have a path, maybe a narrow path, so you walk on the path, but on each side of the path, you have dirt that is ready to receive the seed. So as you're walking down the path, you don't want to walk on the dirt and compress the dirt, because that's just been tilled and it's ready for the seed, so you want to stay on the path. So you're scattering some on this side, you're scattering some on this side, but what inevitably happens is that some of the seed falls on the path. Are you going to take time and pick it up? You're not. You're going to keep on moving, but the birds are behind you and they're picking it up. I think about when I planted some grass near my driveway a month or two ago, and I prepared some dirt right next to the driveway. I'm sowing a little bit of grass seed in the dirt, and what's inevitably happening is some of the seed is falling right on the driveway. Well, I have these two big trees on my tree lawn. There must be 100 birds that live in those trees. And I bet they saw that seed on the driveway and thought, oh, that's for us, and they probably came down and got it later. So that's what he's talking about here. And then he goes on and says, regarding the rock, he said, some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. I didn't quite understand why the seed would grow more quickly if the soil was shallow and there was rock underneath. But with one commentator I read, he said that as the sun is shining on that soil, it's penetrating down and it's heating the rock down below the soil. So when the seed falls into that kind of soil, it grows even better in that kind of soil than it would in regular soil because it's heated from the bottom. It's almost like being in a greenhouse, if you will. But of course, what is the problem? The roots of the seed cannot penetrate very deep at all. They run into the rock, so they don't have much ability to be able to get down in deep for nourishment, for water, and so on, and they end up quickly dying. So the rock promotes growth, but it prevents the roots. What about the thorns? Very similar. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So the thorns, they're already growing, they're already mature, and when the new seed falls in there, it begins to grow up a little bit, but the new seedlings, they have no chance around the mature thorns, and they're choked out, and they die. Finally, the good news, he tells us, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we all have two ears, but do we have the kind of ears that can hear God's word? It seems to some degree that it matters what's going on in our heart as to whether our ears are able to rightly hear the word of God. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we here today? What do we think of the Bible? Are we really sinners, or are we the good guys, and we really don't need Jesus Christ? Or do we realize that no matter how little or how much we have sinned, we have fallen short of righteousness? There's nothing we can do to fix that. Without Jesus Christ, we are eternally condemned, and now we are all ears wanting to hear what God has to say, how God has taken action through his Son in order to make the way for each one of us, in fact, for the entire world, to be with him forever. Is that our attitude, or are we just going through the motions. I can't answer that for anyone, but as I think about myself years ago, I went to church pretty faithfully, and I had the hardest time staying awake during the sermon. I'm like pinching myself. I'm doing whatever I could because I thought, this is not going to look good if the pastor looks out and he sees, hey, there's Bob back there. He's sleeping again. I didn't want that. I mean, I wanted to be alert, but I'm just like having the hardest time. But when God worked this change in my life and he showed me my need, I didn't know there was a need before when he made the need known. And then immediately he filled that need with Jesus Christ. What happened then? I wasn't falling asleep anymore. Then I was like sitting on the edge of the pew wanting to hear everything that was said. I hope that's your situation too. We have this little interim in between. Jesus is saying that some people gladly receive his word while other people continue to reject it. What I want to do in summary here is I want to read a quote out of the Lutheran Study Bible regarding those people who receive the Word of God. It says, Jesus pronounces his disciples blessed because they have seen and heard and believed. Christians today are also blessed, for the Holy Spirit has given us eyes that see and ears that hear. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit has given us spiritual eyes to see spiritual things and spiritual ears to hear the truth of God's holy word. That is what we have been given as God's holy children. We are blessed. But then Dr. Kretzmann has a comment here about those who reject the word of God. He writes, "The understanding of their soul would become duller with the passage of time. Their heart would become senseless. They would have ever greater difficulty in hearing the voice of God, and their eyes would become closed to the offering of his mercy. That is the judgment of God upon those that harden their hearts against the gospel of mercy." Well, maybe that wasn't quite my situation years ago. I wasn't against the things of God by any means. I really just didn't know of my great need for the things of God. So when God showed me that need, then again, he fulfilled that need immediately in Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the explanation here regarding the parable of the sower. Keep in mind now, Jesus is speaking just to his disciples, but who are we? As ones who know we are sinners, who are sorry for our sins, who are trusting in Jesus Christ alone as Savior, we are also his disciples. So he's speaking to us as well. He wants us to understand and benefit and rejoice. He said in verse 18, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." Again, I go to Dr. Kretzmann here with a comment. He wrote, "There is no understanding. They literally do not take the word of God into their hearts and minds. The word never becomes a real factor in their lives." So the word can be there. We can have the Bible by our bed. We can have the Bible on our coffee table. But is the Bible real? Is it meaningful? Is it important to us? Is it our spiritual food? Do we hunger for it? Do we want to know what it says? Do we know that when we look at it and understand it and apply it to life, that is the very, very best thing for us now and forever? Do we know that, and are we doing that? And then we see Martin Luther describe such a man here. He writes, kind of telling us the process, if you will, how the word goes out, but it has no effect. Martin Luther wrote, "The devil has sat down in the man's heart and snatches the seed, the word of God, away, so that he does not believe and is not saved." So it's not just an individual saying, I'm not interested. Keep in mind, we have the devil himself, and we have great forces of evil wanting nothing more than for us to not be interested in the Bible and to not take it in and to not benefit from it. And the devil is there to grab that seed of God's word, which is so very important, and take it away so we cannot benefit, just like the birds eating the seed off of the path. And then with the rock, Jesus said, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, or we could say very shallow roots, the roots can only penetrate down as far as where the rock is, so has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Did you catch an important phrase there? The persecution is because of the word. So when we are touched eternally by the word of God, that makes a difference then in what we say and in what we do. And when those differences come in our lives, what happens? Then persecution comes. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So when the persecution comes to people who have very shallow roots, then the persecution is stronger than their relationship with God, and they end up turning their back on God because they can't stand the persecution. Let me go to Dr. Kretzmann again. He calls these people temporary Christians, and then he explained, their faith, though genuine, is not rooted deeply enough to withstand disappointment, especially tribulation, suspicion, hatred, enmity, and the resulting open or hidden persecution on account of the word. Their rapid acceptance of the word is equaled only by their hasty offense when they are asked to suffer for the sake of Christ. And then he concludes by saying, they want the crown, but not the cross. Am I the same way? I am. I want the crown. Do I want the cross? I don't. But Jesus tells us it's a package deal, that in order to have him, we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. That's part of being a follower. That's part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We might not like that part, but it's part of the whole thing. He wants us to know that. And even when it's hard, is that good for us? It is. When the difficulties come, does he grow us up in Jesus Christ? He does. So God has a plan for the whole thing. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be blessed now and forever? It will be. God will do that. He will bring it about. In verse 22, we come back to the thorns. Jesus said, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So such people hear about God's gift of eternal life, and they're like, wow, that sounds like a great thing. I'd love to have that. So it sounds good to them. But what is the problem, though? Did you catch the phrase? Talked about the deceitfulness of wealth. So we think that wealth is a good thing, and yet wealth is primarily deceitful. Now, we have to be careful saying that, because we as Americans are some of the wealthiest people in the entire world. But what can happen, though, is that we can love our earthly stuff more than our eternal Savior. We need to think this through very carefully. We have our earthly stuff, really wonderful. We have our eternal Savior, super wonderful. Do we really have that distinction made in our minds? If somebody said, I'm going to take all your stuff and you're going to have nothing unless you reject Jesus Christ, what would you do? Would you gladly say, take my stuff? My stuff is nothing in comparison to my Lord Jesus Christ. Or would you say, wow, that means my house, my car, my comfortable bed, my couch, my clothes, all the stuff I have. Are you willing to give up all of that to keep Jesus Christ God wants us to think these things through. That's what we have going on here with the deceitfulness of wealth. So people become concerned about what they have. They want even more of what they already have. And then the Word of God is ultimately choked and ends up being fruitless. We don't want that for any of us. But that is a great, great danger, especially here in America. And then we come to the good news at the end. Verse 23, Jesus said, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." A question I thought about here after I read that is this: how does the soil of a person's heart become good? I believe that God does such work through his word of law. So when we think about the Bible, we have the law, we have the gospel. So God does his work upon our hearts through the law by showing us what is right in his sight, by showing us where we have done wrong, also by showing us the punishment that we have earned and that we deserve, and also showing us our inability to escape such things. So the law is bad news, showing us that we are in a horrible situation and there is nothing we can do about it. So that would be driving the tractor through our hearts and getting that soil all prepared. That would be like Acts chapter 2, where Peter preached to the people and said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, he is both Lord and Christ." And what did the Bible say? They were cut to the heart. What happened? The plow just went through their hearts. They're like, "Wow, we just did like the worst thing we can imagine, because we waited thousands of years for God to send his son. He came and we crucified him. We killed him in the worst way. How could there be any hope for us at all?" And then what did Peter say to them? Peter said, "There is good news. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This blessing is not only for you, but it is also for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So God wants us to know how bad the bad news is, and he wants us to know that there is very good news in our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it like this. As God enables us through his word of law to see our need and to know our helplessness, then at that point, the soil is ready, the seed of the gospel is sown, and the crop is abundant. That is how God wants to work in every one of our lives. Well, the parable of the sower is easy to understand on an earthly, physical, temporal level. So when the seed enters the good soil, the crop is abundant for this life. So what can you do with the first part of the parable? That can help you in planting grass at home, planting a flower garden, planting a vegetable garden, whatever it might be, that part of the parable can help you in that way. But what about the second part, though? The second part is so much more important. It is on a heavenly, spiritual, eternal level. So on that level, when God's gospel word enters a law-prepared heart, what happens? Then the crop is abundant, because God has blessed through his word, first with the law, preparing the heart, second with the gospel, planting the seed, uniting to Christ, and then keeping us in Christ until finally we are with him forever. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, may God's word of law always strongly convict us, and then may God's word of gospel always eternally save us. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. For more sermons and studies, visit us on the web at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to pastor@blc7500.com. For convenient listening, subscribe to our podcast. Search in the iTunes store for Benefit from the Bible. If you live in our area, come and join us. If you live far away, seek out a congregation in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.